venting.
Don't embarrass yourself.
Welcome. We're going to listen to an hour-long conversation of me, Taz, and Zara.
Hello.
Venting and trying not to embarrass ourselves.
Are you done?
This good Muslim, bad Muslim episode.
Thanks, girls.
Thanks, girls.
I'm sorry if I hurt sentiments.
Don't embarrass yourself. Zara, how are you doing? We're in what? I don't even know what month it is. August?
It's August. Welcome from your retreat.
Welcome. Yes, I've been trying really hard to stay off the grid and write for 2 weeks, and it was really hard.
How'd it go?
Like,
what do you mean hard? Like, what's the...
It was difficult because I kept getting pulled back into doing work. So I definitely had, like, meetings in the middle of my retreat. And I just cherish my alone time. Like, I cherish the time where I can just be like, don't talk to me for 2 weeks. Which means I wasn't as productive as I wanted to be. I wanted to work on some writing projects. But I got some stuff done.
From your IG stories, it sounded like you had put together your chapbook.
I did put together my next chapbook. I'm hoping it won't be a chapbook. And that someone's actually going to publish it. Chapbook is self-publishing, and I really want it to be, like, published by someone else. So hope if anyone out there wants to publish my collection of poetry, please get at me.
Put it out into the world.
Yeah, putting it out there. When I was looking over my poetry, I was looking over poems that I wrote since 2014, and I had at least 120 pages of poetry.
That is some time travel.
I know. It was definitely time travel. It was actually kind of surreal because I put together a collection of all my activist poems. And I do a lot of poetry based on current events. So I found myself just like kind of reliving every single hate crime that we've experienced. Ugh. As I was going through my poems. I was just like, oh my gosh, like we've really, as Muslim American people and Muslim American women, we've gone through a lot in the past few years, and I have poems for all of them. Great reading, great fun. So if you wanna read it, get at me. Besides that, I don't actually remember. I'm going to a lot of weddings. The summer's been a lot of weddings. So I have a bunch of weddings coming up. I've been to a bunch of weddings. Not too many awkward questions at the weddings. The summer's just flying like that.
It is already done.
I know. How's your summer?
My summer has been recouping from Showtime. I did my comedy special and sort of like it's been like a bunch of body wind down and then also just like reassessing the year in terms of projects, wind up, you know. And I started aerial Pilates.
I saw that.
So fun.
That looks scary as all hell.
Not like I thought it was going to be.
I thought like the aerial Pilates or the aerial work that I've seen, they're a lot further off the ground. And from your pictures, you don't seem like you're that far off the ground.
I'm new. But some of it has to do with your height.
Mm.
And because I need more vertical height.
Yeah.
It needs to be a bit lower.
I see. I think I'm scared of heights. And that's where this fear is coming from.
Fair. Either way, you know, you're like upside down a lot.
Yeah.
So there has to be room above and below.
Dang.
Yeah. But it's so good for my neck, which I have like discs sitting on top of my nerves in my neck.
Mm-hmm.
So it like being upside down is just like, oh, pain free for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Cool.
I have the use of my left side. It's great.
And what else are you working on?
I'm also working on my comedy special, the video now. The screening. Yeah.
Did you already have the screening last week?
Yeah, I had the first round, rough cuts.
How was that?
Super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. The laughs were all there. Like, it was great. I also need to cut down 90 minutes to 60.
Okay.
So there's still some work to do. But it was really exciting. What else? I know, of course, writing.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry if I hurt sentiments. And then Eid happened.
Yeah. My Eid went, mine went not very excitingly. Oh, you know what happened? I had a wedding on that day. So we went to Eid prayer and then we went to a wedding. So I just feel like it was not much of a celebration.
Mm. I was mad because I didn't even get to eat red meat that day.
You know what?
Hmm.
No, I did. I was going to say I didn't either, but then I did. I for sure did because I went to a Bangladeshi Armenian wedding. So we had like the best foods of both cultures. That was kind of fun.
Girl, don't yell.
Just flying with them. Don't embarrass yourself.
There are a couple hot topics that we're going to dive into. We're going to talk about Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. We're going to talk about our friend Fawzia Mirza's tweet asking about what Muslim women want to see more of, and Kashmir and Priyanka Chopra. There's a lot going on.
Okay, so first topic, we want to talk about Rashida and Ilhan. I'm just going to call them Rashida and Ilhan like we're friends. We're on first name basis.
Okay.
And there was a trip planned by everyone in Congress. I mean, not everyone, but it was like a congressional trip to the Middle East, so Palestine and Israel. And Rashida and Ilhan were banned. They were actually given permission by Netanyahu to go to Israel, and they got banned after our terrible president tweeted about it, and then the ban happened, which kind of shows how much influence our president has over his fun friendships with people.
How are you going to ban congresswomen?
Also, like, Rashida's grandmother lives in Palestine, right? So, like, she's been able to go visit her grandmother all these years, and all of a sudden, just because they're, like, an elected representative, you're like, oh, now we're going to ban you. That's dumb.
How are you going to ban a congresswoman?
Who comes from that country? Like, all this time you've been, like, Muslim banning all these people to go back to where they come from, and you're not letting that happen? Come on. What? A little bit of a hypocritical messaging there.
Also, just, you know, evidence of a country's government collapsing in on itself. Like,
totally.
It's a congresswoman. This is a congressional visit.
I know.
You can't ban them.
I know. I mean, maybe if they, like, sold us Greenland or something, we would be able to go. Which is my favorite news of this week of, like, saying, like, I'm not going to meet with you because you're not selling me your country, so.
What in the world?
What is happening? Which is, I feel like the catchphrase that I use a lot on this podcast. What is happening?
I feel like that's America. What is happening?
What is happening, America? Our,
yeah.
What is happening?
That's
my next
chapbook.
My next chapbook is What is Happening?
Your next published book.
Published book. My next whatever project. I'm just going to have a shirt that says What is Happening. I just like dropped it down. I was like, no, I'm going to have this book now. I'm just going to make it a shirt.
It was really gorgeous to see folks posting My Palestinian City.
Oh, I know. All these grandmothers all over the place. I don't have a lot of friends that shared the hashtag, but it looks like Ilhan Omar tweeted on August 17th, hashtag My Palestinian City is trending and I am overcome with emotions, realizing how we are finally humanizing one of the world's most dehumanized peoples.
Indeed.
So sweet.
And I saw our guest co-host, Rhonda Gerard, post My Palestinian City also.
So cute. So cute. Share grandmother photos.
What is happening to this country? What is happening? We're banning people so that they are stuck here now.
Yeah.
But it's just global police states. That's basically what's going on.
Yeah.
We're just confined to spaces.
All the dictators to just agree with it.
The confining of folks to spaces is really just weirding me out a lot.
Yeah, this is happening in Kashmir. I think this is one of the things that it's hard for us to follow along with what's happening in Kashmir because they've had media blackout. They've shut down the internet. They've shut down electricity. They've shut down access to phones. So it's been really hard to get news out of there. And then what news does come out is coming out of the Indian government and the Indian government saying like, oh, the schools are open. The streets are free and people are able to walk. But people who we know that are on the inside of Kashmir are not able to access stuff. And what's happening there is basically there's been a law in place that allows this region to kind of live in parallel state. And the policy that was written was basically thrown out the window by the Modi government. And Modi just sent all of his military in there. And it's been really scary. We have a lot of friends that are Kashmiri. And just seeing like all the people who are unable to reach their family members there is just frightening.
It's terrifying, isn't it? It's also a resource war. People aren't talking about. There's a freshwater reserve. Glaciers are there.
And it's global Islamophobia, right? Like, because Kashmiris are largely Muslim, and we know that Modi has a vendetta against Muslims. He was involved in the Gujarat riots in the early 2000s, which had a huge murder of Muslims in the Ahmedabad region of the country. And then he's putting all these people from the Assam region, all these Muslims from the Assam region in so-called camps. He's creating a culture where if people even talk about eating cows, people are getting lynched in India. It's terrible. Like, and everyone who I know who's Indian and not Muslim, they're backing it. And the brainwashing that's happening is just frightening.
That's horrifying.
I know. It's so horrifying. There's all these like South Asians in the U.S. who are like Black Lives Matter. And like so progressive, right? They're so progressive, except when it comes to like Kashmir. and like the Modi government. And you're like, why are you all of a sudden like not using these same values that you have on like lefty politics in America and applying it to the motherland? Like, what, why are you so falling back into like nationalistic patriotism, which is like manufactured anyways, because India only came around like after 1940s, you know, like India hasn't been around that long as a nation state. It's just, I don't understand.
Well, thank God we have a ambassador for peace,
Priyanka Chopra,
who's gonna mend.
Don't embarrass yourself.
Whenever you're done venting.
Whenever you're done venting. Thanks, girl.
I'm sorry if I hurt sentiments.
Speaking of people on TV who portray brown women on TV. Oh, I can't believe we have Priyanka Chopra to portray. Our dear friend, Fazia Mirza, she tweeted about Muslim women on TV. And she had this innocuous tweet. Muslim women, I'm developing a show about us. What would you like to see? And there's been a lot of like fiery responses to this thread, which has been interesting to watch.
What did people post? I posted and I was like excited. I was like, yeah. Yes. Talk about sex other than just Shia.
Yeah. Sex, like S-E-X?
Oh, always. But in this instance,
S-E-C-T-S. Oh, yeah. Sex.
But I like Shia sex. That sounds hot.
Sex, sex?
Yeah.
Sex of the
Shia,
sex.
Ooh, Shia sex would be so BDSM.
Shia sex.
Yeah.
Sex. Like sex, sex, sex.
Sect.
Like sex. Sex, sex, sex. Anyways.
Girl, don't yell.
I was just getting annoyed because there's all like a lot of the responses were like, let's show Muslim women of every kind of color and fit and creed, which is cool because we don't see that, right? We only see, I feel like in TV, we only see Muslim women who are like in burda and hijab and like they're being saved by white men or like, I think that's it. That's the only time.
There's a little scarcity of representation.
Right. And then there's a big sick version, right? Like the whole like Muslim women are not to be like sexualized or objectified. They're like, you know, you arrange marriage them, but like they're not like real. So there's that version too. I think those are the only two big representations. Anyways, so it makes sense. Let's have Muslim women on TV that are just kind of doing anything else besides that.
I mean, we really don't have a lot of Muslim women on TV just like being their funny selves because there's so like we have a lot of Muslim men.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool. But, you know, where's Nagin Farsad's show? Yeah. Where's Mazen Saeed's show?
Yeah.
You know, for sure. I want to see Fazia's show.
Totally.
I want to be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to write for it.
Let's do that.
Let's just, Fazia, hire us.
We have a couple pitches for you.
Yes.
All right. Time Travel Muslims, a teen rom-com.
Okay. Can you describe what your rom-com, how you define a rom-com? Because I feel like we might have different definitions of rom-com.
Oh, okay. So this is a time travel where two teens are in their car having like really hot Shia sect sex. And then the car starts like bouncing like real hard.
Uh-huh.
And there's like whips and singing. Mm. And then all of a sudden there's like a flash of light and they're taken back to the Islamic golden era and they're in school. Boom. Naked.
I feel like most rom-coms I watch, they like end on like a kiss.
They kiss at the end and in the beginning and in the middle. What's not rom-commy about this? It's funny because it's romantic.
Mm-mm.
No?
I mean, it sounds like a good movie. It would be like, you know, more like a romantic drama sci-fi.
It's a rom-com. It's a comedy. They're there learning about algebra. They're teenagers who are in a car having sex, and then boom, they're in an algebra class.
Well, you know.
At the origins of algebra.
If Fozzie wants to bring this in, we'll let her be the judge of that.
All right. Well, my other idea was Star Wars, but it's already Muslim. But if it was serialized, that would be cool. What you got?
I was saying that I want to, like, the TV show Girlfriends from RIP UPN days, which had all the people of color that I ever saw on television.
Speaking of time travel, UPN.
UPN. And Tracy Ellis Ross, who's like my role model in this life.
Oh my God, I love that show.
I love her. And how cool. What I loved about that show was just that they had like, and then we talk about this all the time. I think that's what's so great about our show is that like Muslim women, there's usually just tokens. And in the TV show Girlfriends, because there was so many black women in the show that they had all kinds of character types and qualities. And I think that was fun. And I think what we always see when it comes to portraying Muslim women is on TV is that they have to either like, this is what I see. I see a lot of like Muslim women hijabis that are queer.
Mm.
And I was just like, I think like everyone's just trying to put all their tropes into one person. Like mm-hmm. they're like, let's put all the margins in one. Like make right. them brown, make them hijabi, make them mm-hmm. queer and just like have them all there. Mm-hmm. Which I think is just, I mean, they're trying, but they're trying a little bit too hard in Hollywood in that sense.
Keep trying just harder.
Harder, more characters. Why? There's like,
well, you know what you're touching on that I'm like, just, it's just solidifying for me now.
Yeah.
Is like, a lot of times when there's a diversity or a range of representation, it becomes about representing the diversity and range, mm-hmm. as opposed to the fact that like we have on our wonderful show is in conversation, we realize, oh my God, the things we disagree and agree on,
yeah.
the similarities and differences that we have,
totally.
Our childhoods, our like all these discoveries that like bring us closer together, further apart, closer together, you know, relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what we want to see is like that
totally.
Like human conflict. And that's what's humanizing.
Absolutely.
That three-dimensionality, not here's one example of this to represent all of that.
Yeah.
One example of this to represent all of that.
But also like when tokenizing happens, it's like that one person has to, is just interacting with white supremacy and like interacting with like in a white world usually. And it like, then it becomes this whole like conversation between like about whiteness and relationship with whiteness when it's kind of nice to just have stories where there is no conversation with whiteness, which I mean, as many issues as Crazy Rich Asian had, like it still was amazing that we could just at least take that part out.
Yeah, I know. Imagine that. It's like power and narrative.
Yeah. So I say like, you know, I'm here to support you, Fazia. Both Zara and I are in.
I will be one of the characters in the car, Fazia, in my idea.
I will be one of the girlfriends, but I'm not going to act.
Taz is Taz.
Yeah, I'll be Taz. On that note, let's take a break.
Hi, I'm Marvin.
And I'm Rira.
We're the host of Books and Boba, a book club and podcast dedicated to books by Asian and Asian American authors.
Every month, we pick a book by an Asian author to read and discuss on the show.
We read a wide variety of genres, from contemporary to historical fiction, fantasy to memoirs, and crime thrillers to romance.
Some of our past book club picks are Pachinko by Minjin Lee, Sorcerer to the Crown by Zen Cho, and Devotion of Suspect X by Keigo Higashino.
We also go over what's new in the Asian American literary world and chat with some talented Asian authors about their work.
So whether you want to start reading for fun again or diversify your TBR list, we got your Asian literature cravings covered. For more info, check out our website at booksandboba.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcasts.
Part of the Potluck Podcast Collective.
And we're back to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim Show. This is Tess.
And this is Zara, here with Creeping Sharia and all the ways we're winning.
Creeping Sharia. So I have a Creeping Sharia, but I don't know if it fits into Creeping Sharia, because usually Creeping Sharia is like, but I think it works.
What you got?
Well, so you know the Mipsters.
Yes.
The Muslim hipsters. They're doing this really cool project, which is a musically driven short film about Muslim futurism, and it's called Alhamdu. And they filmed the first part of it in Joshua Tree. They were actually filming it when I was out there. I wasn't invited to be a part of this, but whatever. That's
but
fine.
But it's at Joshua Tree. That's I your know, place.
That's my place, but it's fine. I met up with our friend Rami after he filmed. He's in the video. And it just looks so dope. Like, if you go to the Kickstarter page, just look up Mipsters.
Rami Eletribi?
Eletribi.
He's going to be in it, too?
He's in it. He looks so dope in it, too. It's just, like, super colorful and weird and kooky and
it sounds so fun.
Looks fun. Looks like it's gonna happen. Looks like the project is completely backed. So that's my Creeping Sharia, giving Muslim, a shout out to the Mipsters.
It's Muslim futurism.
Muslim futurism.
We're creeping into the future.
We are creeping into the future.
I love it.
What's yours?
All right. So, you know, destabilization.
Yeah.
That I love to talk about. Usually happens to Muslim countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a notification about those countries that says something like Amnesty International says that it's not a good idea necessarily to travel to this country because we cannot guarantee that you're going to be safe.
Totally. Every time I travel internationally, my parents were always like, I don't know if it's safe
right
to leave USA to go travel to these countries.
depending on the country, right? Like Iran has that posting.
Usually I only travel to dangerous countries, I think.
Like Cancun.
Mexico, right? I mean, that was an issue for a while. Mexican, yes.
Like, are we going to get back in?
Yeah.
And now Amnesty International issued this travel warning, calling for all visitors to the United States to exercise extreme caution when traveling throughout the country due to rampant gun violence, which has become so prevalent in the United States that it amounts to a human rights crisis.
Hey, Zara, what's the race of the people that are, you know, doing this gun violence?
They're all white.
Yeah. I just needed to state that. They're mostly white, yeah.
Mostly white young men in their 20s.
Who just all have, like, mental instability, apparently, and are lone wolves.
How about that?
What a coincidence that there are so many lone wolves just running rampant.
You know, that's basically the Headless Horseman.
Huh?
The myth of the Headless Horseman.
Which is?
Can't be identified.
Yeah.
Commits the murder, gets away with it.
Yeah.
Totally unidentified.
Totally.
It's the Headless Horseman.
It's just scary that, like, I mean, I'm not surprised that the Amnesty International put this warning out. I think it's really smart of them to do it.
Ernest Coverson's quote blew my mind. He's a campaign manager for the End Gun Violence campaign at Amnesty. And he noted, travelers to the United States should remain cautious that the country does not adequately protect people's rights to be safe regardless of who they might be. This part, people in the United States cannot reasonably expect to be free from harm. A guarantee of not being shot is impossible.
I know. I do get scared every time I leave the house. I get less scared in California because the gun laws are stricter here, but can't imagine living in a place like Texas or Florida where you're allowed to carry guns freely.
The great thing about Chance is it literally doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing.
I mean, that's true, but it also, the states with laws, it does matter a little bit more.
I think what they're pointing out with Amnesty,
oh, for sure, yeah.
Is that it actually doesn't, because so many people have it regardless of the law. That it's so enabled. It doesn't matter which state you're in, actually.
Yeah, because guns cross. People steal guns.
While we're taping this, I had a news pop up about the Atlanta shooting in progress. And when I look at the Gun Violence Archive, I mean, it's August 20th, August 18th, August 17th, August 15th, August 15th, August 14th, August 13th, 12th, 11th, 10th, 10th, 9th, 7th, 5th, 4th, 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 3rd, and the 2nd. So good on Amnesty International making sure that people who travel to the United States take this into consideration.
Yeah. Thank you, Amnesty. It's a good tactic. We should be issuing all kinds of tactics like this in America.
Whew. Speaking of awkward.
Was that awkward?
Maybe because I'm literally in that country that has that warning and not feeling so great about that.
Awkward, ask a Muslim. You know, I have an awkward, but I have like a little mini awkward. My little mini awkward was I was in Target and I saw this guy walk by and he was like wearing like this one of those like Pakistani tupis on his head. And then he was wearing this like really dope like black and white robe with like a flashy gold belt and then like Doc Martens. And I just caught the back of him. And I was like, he's one of my peoples. And I was like, do I stop him? Do I say, hey, we should be friends?
That's your dad stepping in. Make friendship test. Make friendship.
Like, but you know when you see like one of our kind?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Like, I totally know.
Like this is like one of the people that like would have read at our poetry readings or like done the zine with us. It was one of ours.
It's yay face.
It was like, that's who are you? And why aren't we friends? Like, we obviously need to be friends. So that was like a non-awkward ask because I was like, wait. Oh, walked by.
Well, what happened? Oh, he walked by.
No, he just walked by because it just caught out of the corner of my eyes. I'm just like, oh, it's going to be weird for me to like approach every like Muslimish, like queerish looking Muslim person and go like, hey, do you want to be our friends by myself? Ugh.
That's going to be my ringtone.
My actual awkward ask a Muslim is my auntie, a friend in the community, not real auntie, but I mean, you know that. We all have aunties. Mm. She texted me. She's like, how are you? I got a bio for a person interested to marry. I wanted to send it to you if you are interested. And then I was like, oh, you think it's a good match for me? Because, you know, I trust you. And if you think there is even a remote chance, I'm down to see the bio.
That is Auntie Crack, right? What you said.
Right? And I was like,
Auntie gets to hear that.
No, because this is an auntie that I like, right? Like, I was like, this auntie knows me.
Hmm.
Like, you know, if she knows someone, then her response to that was, someone sent it to me. They live in London. That was it. Then I was just like, oh, wait a second.
Oh, so you're going to London.
And then she sent the bio data.
Okay.
And then I sent it to my sisters.
Okay.
And their responses was interesting.
Given the state of the United States, I approve of the outsourcing. What did your sister say?
My sister said, we couldn't let you do that. We can't do that to the family. That ain't my brother-in-law.
Aw.
Why would she even think that this is an option?
That's cold.
He's not even one of those handsome British men. Oh, my gosh. Their trolling is like this level of like passive-aggressive trolling, which I just really appreciated in that text. Because it was trolling. But they were like, their mean level was just like, just so passive mean. It was good. That was like
mean
good
girl
one.
Mean. That's mean girl.
That was mean girl mean. I was like
mean girl mean.
I was really appreciating the swiftness of their text messaging there.
I don't appreciate it because I liked him and I'm a fan.
Did you read his bio data?
I didn't read his bio data. What did his bio data say?
His bio data said that his family lives in this address. His sister-in-law went to this school, and all it says about him is his height. And that he's a medium build. That's it.
I remember I liked his photo. I thought he was adorable.
That's really what we all look for in people that we want to fuck. Just adorable.
Yes. I sit on the face of adorable.
Oh, gosh. So I like was debating sharing this picture on Instagram stories.
Well, okay. Let's hear what's not your type.
My type is this photo.
Do you want to describe it for our listeners who can't see?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the thing is, like, I didn't want to share what this person looked like because I feel like it's bad dating karma.
I agree it is bad dating karma.
But then I was like, I'm still single at 40. I already got all the bad dating karma, right? No? I mean, there's even worse coming my way?
No, it's not that. It's just, like, I feel like when we talk about this all the time is, like, there's this, like, beautyism, like, I don't actually even know what beautyism is. I'm just adding an ism to beauty. Like, there's, you know, everyone wants those, like, Aryan features, the strong jawline, the, like, you know, that British man look. And I don't know. I feel like sometimes we're, like, judging ourselves and each other based off that look. And it turns me off.
I think that's, like, assuming that I was drawn to Aryan features, which we've talked about how I'm not drawn to white guys. So that's right. Not a thing. I think what really draws, like, makes me uncomfortable with this photo is that it's, like, a person in a suit in a studio. Like, it's, like, a soundstagey studio. And I just think, like, women have to spend so much time into making sure that when we make our dating profile photos that we're with friends and we do activities on the mountain and we, you know, like food and we're, like, real people engaging with the real society. This person's, like, on a soundstage, like, surrounded by nothing. So there's, like, no personality in the photo. And then I think the other thing is, like, when we put so much time into doing those profiles, it's always, like, show yourself in a cute dress. Show yourself, like, in sporty attire. You know, you have to, just, like, show yourself as a human being with a range. And this photo does not have that.
I just want to say I'm taking back what I said.
Oh.
Because, and A, not that you need any of my affirmation, but to support your intuitions – I feel like your informant radar is like, whoa.
Oh, is that what you're hearing in this?
Oh, my God. That, like, I'm not saying he's an informant. But the fact that you're right. He's in – the background is so weird. I didn't even think about that. I was just looking at his, like, face and demeanor.
Oh, yeah.
Which looked, like, endearing and, like, soft. Hey. Yeah.
Soft.
I like soft men.
I like hard men.
But – the fact that he is in this, like, humanless studio.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, are they just, like, outsourcing this photo just, like, on blast?
Yeah, they are. I think this is, like, the traditional, like, 1980s way of, like, dating in Bangladesh, I guess, was just, like, taking these photos. But, you know, even back then, like, I feel like my mom's biodata photo or whatever, like, they would always take pictures, like, in a pretty sari next to flowers. Like, I just think women have to do all this work to make themselves look good. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like this guy put in the effort, okay? I just don't think it's all there. I think, like, if all you're going to share is, like, one photo of you in a soundstage, you better look fucking amazing. Otherwise, show, like, more personality. You have to look like Keanu Reeves in a, like, white soundstage to make that, like, work. But
I need you to have a podcast for men.
Oh, yeah, because men like hearing me.
They need to.
I agree.
Yeah.
They do need to hear me.
They do.
They're not going to. They're just going to have to hear me here.
More men need to listen to you.
What's your awkward ask? Oh, wait, I guess I didn't conclude. No, I do not like this biodata. I will not pursue it further. Done.
The light just flickered above.
I know. That was like my mom saying, like, how dare you reject this man?
Gosh. That was amazing. Wow. Wow.
What, you don't believe in ghosts?
I believe in your mom.
I believe in my mom, too, man. She comes through from the dead.
Whew. That was powerful.
Really?
Yeah. What does it mean?
It means my mom says, like, I shouldn't be rejecting men because based on their biodata. But mom, he's shorter than me. He's not going to know what to do with me. I'm going to eat him up. Look, did you see how soft he was in the picture, mom? It's just not going to work. Okay, the light stopped flickering. So I think she heard me.
Wow. All right.
What's your awkward ass?
I'm not prepared to talk about Mia Khalifa now.
My mom is watching, so I don't know if you want to talk about Mia Khalifa now. She's shown that she's here.
I feel like I'm done. I feel like I'm good. And I'm available for fatwa now.
Okay, we have a pretty good fatwa. I'm not going to fatwa the person because we don't do that.
Of course not.
I am fatwaing when a microphone is taken away from a brown woman who is fighting for the resistance.
Boom.
And this woman that was speaking into the microphone, fighting for the resistance, was Aisha Malik at BeautyCon. Which I know BeautyCon doesn't seem like the place for, you know, the resistance to happen. But it
absolutely is.
Because beauty is, you know.
White supremacy has a hold on beauty and has for a really long time.
You should all follow her on Twitter. It's Spisha. I was already following her. She has, like, gorgeous curly hair and she lives in Alaska and she just has this, like, Instagram about, like, a beauty Instagram about her hair. I don't know why I follow these girls, but I do. I follow a lot of, like, Desi beauty bloggers. And Aisha was at BeautyCon and Priyanka Chopra was on stage. And then Aisha tried to have a conversation from the audience about how Priyanka Chopra tweeted about Jai Hind when India was about to drop nuclear weapons on Pakistan. There's a lot of Bollywood stars that were in support of their patriotism of bombing of Pakistan. And so Aisha spoke up. And then Priyanka had a really dumb response. Since we're not going to share Priyanka's voice on our podcast, we're going to do a reenactment. I'm going to try to do my Bollywood posh voice. I hear you whenever you're done venting. Done? Done? Okay, cool. I have many, many friends from Pakistan and I am from India. War is not something that I'm really fond of, but I am patriotic. So I'm sorry if I've hurt sentiments to people who do love me and have loved me. But I think all of us have a sort of middle ground that we all have to walk, just like you probably do. The way you came at me right now, girl, don't yell. We're all here for love. Don't yell. Don't embarrass yourself. But we all walk that middle ground. But thank you for your enthusiasm and your questioning and your voice. Thanks, I'm clapping girl. For myself. Hire me, Hollywood. That was Zara's face.
I'm just cracking up. I can't believe what she said. And it's so good hearing it from you. Like, I'm enjoying all of it and then not enjoying it at the same time.
Girl, don't yell. How condescending was that? Girl, don't yell. Don't embarrass yourself.
Whenever you're done venting.
Whenever you're done. And she, you know, it wasn't that she was done venting. They took the mic away from her. The security guard came and took the mic away from her. So when she said done, that was just her stealing the mic.
I fought with that. Do not take the mic away from a brown woman.
And I've been talking trash about Priyanka for a while because she's trashworthy. I'm going to qualify it. She's trashworthy because she had Modi come to her wedding. We know Modi is a terrible, terrible man. She tweets in support of nuclear war. She wore this shirt marked out refugee and immigrant and just referred to herself as a traveler. And she's the UN ambassador for UNICEF. So I think people.
For peace.
For peace. There's a lot of pushback saying that we can't expect so much from celebrities. We need to.
Oh, fuck that.
And I was like, no, not just fuck that, but she's already politicizing herself with having taking in all these roles and stances.
If Angelina Jolie was America first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then was like
if we were going to drop nuclear weapons on Canada and she said America first. Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
On Canada. Above us.
Yeah. A neighboring country.
And then America first. And she's an ambassador, not even for peace.
Yeah.
But just a diplomatic figure.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then on top of that, watches another woman get their mic taken away and says, girl, don't yell when she's still trying to be heard.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No.
Mm-mm. Also, okay, can you imagine if my husband said any of these phrases? Uh-uh. Oh, my God. Don't embarrass yourself. I would punch him. Girl, don't yell. I would punch him. Whenever you're done venting.
Punch.
No.
Slap.
No.
Kick.
No, I would saw him apart by his limbs and find a necessary means of disposal.
Mm. I like how you think.
Yeah, like Bob Durst.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Some of this is domestic violence jokes. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. I also don't know who Bob Durst is.
Killed his wife.
Oh.
Killed his neighbor.
Oh.
Got away with it. White man. Mm. Whenever you're done venting.
Oh, that's the worst one. That for me, the whenever you're done venting and don't embarrass yourself are the two things. Hey, this is just so rich. I'm just going to be Priyanka all the time and tell everyone, don't embarrass yourself.
Oh, my God.
Don't embarrass yourself.
The fact that you would even think you need to do that to shame a woman.
Yes.
At a convention where she's
already. About beauty.
Oh, my God. And she's putting herself out there publicly already.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass yourself.
Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass yourself, Priyanka. Take a seat.
Whenever you're done venting.
Take a seat.
Wow. Are you done? I'm sorry if I hurt sentiments. We'll move on. Thanks, girls.
Thanks, girls. Do you got a good Muslim award that you want to give out?
Yes.
Who do you got?
Okay, I know at first you're going to think that I've already given this person a good Muslim award.
Yes.
But it's different.
I'm okay with giving this person as many good Muslim awards as possible. You know I love him.
Hassan Minhaj's.
Oh, his is?
Rotator cuff.
What?
The infraspinatus and the teres minor twist, the arm outward, sideways from the body.
I feel like you're really looking at his body really intimately.
The rotator cuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We know what the rotator cuff does.
I notice it.
Uh-huh.
His rotator cuff. I want to give it an award.
Wait, why do you want to give it an award?
Right now, I have a pinched nerve in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I've been working out with my shoulder scrunched in.
Mm.
And it's really difficult to keep up with the news, be on your iPhone all the time, drive everywhere in LA, talk to people forward like this, forward gesture, forward gesture, forward gesture. Your shoulders end up forward, your rotator cuff's pulled forward. And then what do? You you're lifting your biceps, you're training, you're lifting weight, getting hard bodied. And then you tear your rotator cuff. Looking at Hassan Minhaj, I remember watching him when he was on his way up, even then at open mics.
Did he have good posture?
Good posture and good work ethic. And here he is with everything there on the stage.
Yeah.
And his rotator cuffs are just so nicely pulled out and into their sockets.
Yeah, he does stand very straight.
But look at his rotator cuff.
I don't. When you say rotator cuff, I don't actually know what part of the body you're talking about.
Your shoulder.
Oh, I thought rotator cuff was like your wrist.
No, your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Like, he does have very like straight shoulders.
Because like whenever dudes like lift, they go bro. They wail on their pecs, and then they get that like bro shoulder. Pecs. Bro shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's got Pilates shoulders.
Maybe he has one of those like sticker you put in the middle of your back to hold your.
In looking at his rotator cuffs, I think that they're doing the work. And that's why I want to give them a Good Muslim Award.
All right. I'm going to give my Good Muslim Award to the editors S.K. Ali and Aisha Saeed, who are doing a YA book edited with the voices of 15 Muslim women. And I'm really excited. The book's called Once Upon an Eid. It's a kid's book by Muslim women for Muslim youth in their own voices. I cannot wait. It comes out May 2020.
This is like the perfect opposite to my award. Because my award is an award to a Muslim man who already like is not in need of shine. And it's just like one of his muscles.
And I'm giving it to 15 different Muslim women for telling their narratives.
And for children all out there to receive
all it. All children. Shine theory. Shine.
This is what we need. From
Sara, don't embarrass yourself.
Whenever you're done venting.
I think I am done venting. I think we're at the end of our show. I think this is it. This is it for Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, this episode. What you got coming up? I don't even know what month we are. Are we in August? We're in August.
You know, once upon a time, August was Muslim Appreciation Month. What happened to that?
I don't know.
Remember that? What happened?
Well, I appreciate you. What you got coming up?
I'm going to be on an episode of Midlife Mixtape, the Midlife Mixtape podcast with Nancy Davis Coe. Check it out.
Cool.
What you got going on?
I'm going to be a part of the Work It Festival. I'm on the advisory board. I'm not actually doing anything at the Work It Festival, but please come to it. It's a podcasting festival for women. It's in Los Angeles on October 3rd to the 4th. We're both going to be there hanging out, meeting people.
Come take selfies.
Come take selfies. Talk to us. We're open. And it's for, you know, women who want to be in podcasts. And it's going to be fun. Besides that, I feel like I'm just like still in like retreat mode. I might be doing things that I just don't know. I still haven't gone through all my emails yet, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you done?
I think I am done venting. I think you can take away my microphone now.
Thanks.
Don't ever take away my microphone, Sara. Don't ever take away my microphone.
Here, here. And with that,
thanks, girls. Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's TAZZYSTAR, and Zara at Zara Comedy, that's ZAHRA Comedy. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at GoodMuslimBadMuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is recorded at the Potluck Podcast Studio, located at Visual Communications. Visual Communications develops and supports the voices of Asian American and Pacific Islander media artists who empower communities and challenge perspectives. Some of their annual programs include the Academy Award qualifying Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival, the Armed with the Camera Fellowship, and C3, the Conference for Creative Content. Learn more at vconline.org. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is a proud member of Potluck, a collective that features stories and voices from the Asian American community.
Holy
Potluck. Potluck.
But I like Shia Sex. That sounds hot.
Sex?
Yeah.
Sex of the
Shia,
sex?
Ooh, Shia Sex would be so BDSM.
Shia Sex.
Yeah.
Sex. Like sex.
Sect.
Like sex. 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 Sex.